Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak and Beers.
Brother, this is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host, Brad.
Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Can you hear with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast?
Hey guys, welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down. I'm your host, as always, Jimmy Skinner. With me, as always, Dan Perry. What's up, dude?
What's up, man?
I want to get straight to it. I want to know, how did the secret pond fishing go with the boy? I didn't get to make it.
Oh, it was good. It was me and my son, and then Lance Coley and his kid, and his kayak. And we, my son, Asa, come here. Hey, he caught his two new personal bests and then took a nap. Here he is right here. The fisherman himself.
The hammer. What's up, Bubba?
Straight from hockey. All right. Watch out. Watch out. But yeah.
He's going to take over the show.
No, he's got to get to bed. Well, take a shower and then go to bed. He had two hockey practices tonight. But yeah, we did that. And it was a hoot, man. Good time.
That's cool. Helped do a little moving, and I got to go explore a new area for about 2 hours. Caught one fish, decided very quickly, F that whole area. Looked really good, but, you know, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah. Also, but, I finally got a rack and roll trailer this weekend. I've been wanting one forever, and I finally found one.
Where'd you find one? Did you, like, a used one?
Yeah, a used one. I got it from a dude in Pensacola. He met me halfway, and I got, like, crazy good deal on it, so yeah.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know what's up with this light. I look like I bleached my teeth or something. That's not what happened.
Got the pearly whites showing out. Yeah. I look like I'm representing the red light district back here. I meant to change it to blue, but I don't care. So another great show lined up. This is the show that we were trying to get last week, but it's a little local coverage for me for sure, just a little bit north of Dan. We've got the winners and the angler of the year from the North Alabama Kayak Anglers, fresh off of their classic on one of my favorite lakes in the state, Wheeler Lake, which is most everybody's least favorite lake. Nobody ever wants to come to Wheeler, but
never been there.
I would say you're missing out. I know some of these guys would probably disagree with that. But they can't really now cause they all kicked ass at it. But without further ado, we have the winner, Jason Moore, second place, Randall Wallace, and third place, Michael Cooper. What's going on, everybody?
What's up, gentlemen?
What's going on?
Appreciate y'all being on.
Yes, sir.
So, real quick, I know because I'm buddies with one of the directors. I know, Randall, you were it was a two-day tournament. I'll get to this. And it wasn't a traditional two-day tournament. They were able to fish from, I think, like, was it like 12 noon? On Friday to, I think, 3 p.m. 11 a.m. on Friday to 3 p.m. on Saturday. So you could kind of fish it whenever you wanted to and have a couple of chances of getting your fish. But I know that apparently after Friday, Randall had sent a message that said F this lake or something like that. Like he had blanked on Friday, but
I can't stand it. I don't know how you like it. I mean, it's got great backwater. That's usually ineligible for tournaments, but as a tournament, like it's terrible. It's terrible. I don't like it.
I've definitely got more success on the backwater, but I've started dabbling with some of the like main lake stuff. And it's getting better because the grass is finally coming back, but I still don't think it's there by any means. But Jason, I know Jason likes it, but he's a backwater guy. Would you say it's one of your top three lakes, Jason?
Oh.
don't know if y'all can y'all hear him?
No.
It was breaking up for me. Try coming back out and coming back in one more time, Jason. We'll see if that works. But Coop, I know you. I'm pretty sure I could guess the area you were fishing. What do you think about Wheeler?
I kind of like Randall said, backwaters. Main lake, I normally stay away from. I live mostly on the north end, so I fish. I say north end. I guess it'd be the east end of the lake. So I spend most of my time up that way. But I was actually went to a new spot, never been to before. Kind of scoped it out on the map for about 2 months since we found out Wheeler was going to be the spot. And just kind of winged it and rolled up and found a bunch of shad and ended up doing well for 2 days.
That's awesome. All right, Jason, can you hear us now, Bubba? See if we got you back. Still having a little technical difficulties, yeah. But well, let's see. So I would say I want to hear Randall's take on Wheeler. Well, give a description of Wheeler to people that don't know anything about it.
I don't know if this is I'll keep it kid friendly. it's the butthole of the Tennessee River. Nobody in their right mind would ever choose Wheeler over Chickamauga, Gunnersville, Wilson, Pickwick, Kentucky Lake. Nobody in their right mind would say, hey, I have 5 days of vacation. Grab the boat. We're going to Wheeler.
I mean, he's not wrong there. I've got some time coming off up, and I definitely am not going to Wheeler, and I live 10 minutes from it.
Yeah, I mean, it has great fish. You can look back at the years of the Bassmasters, and I think the last time they were there is when Takahiro won it, throwing topwater right out in front of Ingalls Harbor. I mean, it has the fish, but it's not a kayak friendly lake. The launches are restricted for the most part, and I mean, it's great for skinny water. It has more skinny water options than any other lake on the Tennessee River.
It definitely does.
But that puts a lot of people in the same area.
Why are the launches restricted?
Well, no, I say restricted. There's not that many on the main lake. I mean, you got a few. Yeah, limited. I mean, you got Ingalls, then you got up towards the dam, both ends of the lake, Gunnersville Dam, and then actual Wheeler Dam. Maybe on the other side at the Elk River. But like mid lake, I mean, there is TVA areas. There are like management areas, the WMA at Swan Creek. And but, I mean, do you really want to park your truck down there?
Randall can only say that because he's had some bad experiences leaving his truck places. My man's came back and had the old, what was it called?
Catalytic converter.
Yeah, your catalytic converter was stolen by one of your Crystal Methodists.
It had 700 miles on it.
Wow.
Yeah. But you know what's funny? That's where I fished the 2 days for this tournament.
You were like, F it. Let's do it again.
I hung them out there. I literally hung them out there and told them, you know what? I'm not going to let it ruin them, you know, ruin a good spot for me. Maybe I'll get lucky and walk up on them. I don't know.
I've never understood. Like, where are they selling them?
Junkyards.
Oh, okay. I mean, we could get into the whole argument. Like, yeah, I don't understand how junkyards even allow that. Yeah, and you should have to do like a registry. There should be serialized. Like, you should have to photo ID. I mean, if you show up with 74 catalytic converters,
your bigger scrapyards do, but it's the, you know, Warrior County, like Mama Pawpaw scrapyards. Yeah. They don't care because they'll just turn around and sell them to the bigger scrap yards, but back to talking about like limited ramp access and the ramps you do have, like actual boat ramps, most of them are like not, I mean, like Ingalls and what is that? The Riverwalk Marina. Yeah. Like those are near some decent areas. And I don't mean like I'm giving away any secrets, but there's kayakable water right there. Most of the other ramps on that lake, I mean, you got to really run to really hit anything, which just, you know, up until now, especially for the NACA guys, wasn't really ideal because we didn't allow motors up until going into next year. But NACA's an old school club with a lot of backwater guys anyway, so it's kind of cool to see how that plays out.
If somebody could figure out that main river on Wheeler, they could cash some checks because I guarantee you there wasn't 10 people on it.
Yeah, I didn't catch a fish off of it the whole time. And I tried. So,
and you know they're there because there was a turn. I mean, obviously this was in the spring, but there was a tournament on Wheeler earlier this year, and the guy came in with, I think, it's like 23 or 24 pounds of smallmouth, which as of lately is just not heard of on Wheeler anymore. Yeah. After the big spray and all the, you know, the die off and everything. But yeah, so that was the lake that got chosen, and you boys fished it. We're having, Jason's having some signal issues, but we'll kind of get into it. So y'all, well, I know Coop, you've got experience on it, but you already said you kind of picked out a new area, and Randall obviously has experience on it based off that last story. What did y'all do to prepare for it? Did you put a lot of pre-fishing time in it, or did you, like, kind of just wing it and do a little map study, or just hope that, you know, history worked for you? Go ahead, Coop.
Yeah, so I didn't get to pre-fish any.
He's a working man.
Man, between getting ready for this baby and getting the house ready, it took up all my time. So last chance I got to fish was a river stop, pretty much, besides hitting up Gunnersville a few times, which is pretty much in the backyard. So I didn't pre-fish any. But my spot that I normally go to at the river stop, with the rain and stuff we hadn't had too much rain, so the rivers were low. So had to shift from the river stop and say, hey, let's go find somewhere else for the classic. So that's what kind of sparked that. Other than that, I probably would have went to some more skinny water and done a float. That's more up my alley.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so other than that, no pre-fishing, no nothing, more map study and – really, that was it, going off maps. And since I had 2 days and all night to fish, you were able to wing it a little bit more. If I knew Friday didn't work, then I had two or three other spots kind of in my back pocket, like, let's go try these. So,
Did you give the nighttime bite a chance? Did you kind of hit it all three times?
I started pretty much put in right at line's end and fished till about 11 o'clock that night. And then the rain was about to come in, wind was starting to pick up, and so I decided to go ahead, go back home, grab a bite to eat, get a few hours of sleep. And I started back I woke up about 4:30, headed back to the river. So
committed, man.
I don't think I've ever even looked at it. I'm sitting here looking at the map. It looks juicy, man.
Really does.
Don't, man.
I'm telling you,
you've got one side, yeah, and one side, like, it's bullshit.
You'll waller all in it. You'll just go to waller. So,
it's one of those places that everything looks so good, and there are no fish in 50% of it.
Yeah. I mean, even on the rivers, there's a bunch of dead stretches. So, I mean, there might go 2 hours in a float, you don't catch nothing, and then catch 10 stacked up somewhere.
That's definitely, man. You especially so. I've been kayak fishing up here since 16, I think, when I met all you guys. And Wheeler's got so much good history, even from the kayaks. You hear about, you know, the guys winning in certain creeks on my end, more towards the middle of the lake, catching 24-inch largemouth up in a foot of water. And guys like Coop going down on the east end of the lake and, you know, getting on big smallies up in the current and stuff like that. And I've caught some good fish. But for the most part, it's feast or famine. And there was a lot of that this weekend. Like Nate's the director. I know he moved spots and went and caught up with Dan Sasser, and he caught one, you know, really good fish up in the pads. But, you know, it's just very random. It's just, I think it's because of, everybody knows anything about Wheeler knows that it was sprayed real bad. There's just, like you said, there's so much dead area, and there's areas that still even show that. You'll go back in some areas that should be the most lush, you know, fresh oxygenated water, and it's just this nasty, dead, just mud flat of just nothingness. And, like, there's no, you won't see life. I mean, even in, you find, like, stagnant slack areas in, you know, anywhere else in the state or the country, and you'll see gar and turtles. You don't even see that in some of these places. It's just nothingness. Which is like Randall said, though, you do see there a lot of people fishing the same areas. You get a lot of, I say competition, but it's more company than anything. Did you have any company, either one of y'all?
I was just about to ask.
No, the other other than the people I fish with. No, I mean,
right.
I fished that section for river stops and Wheeler tournaments for 6-7 years, and we've not one time had somebody else on it.
So that's good. Yeah, same thing. Normally, I don't see nobody. So if I start seeing people now, I'll know something's up. But the whole time, from the time I put in till I quit fishing, I didn't see another kayak or another boat the entire time, which I was surprised. So that probably kind of helped plan, because there wasn't many fish where I was, but they had just started that fall transition into some of the creeks. And
yeah,
I bet you right now that place is on fire. So
yeah, I took off tomorrow to go find out. Not on Wheeler. I'm going to go to Gunnersville, because like Randall said, I'd rather just go to Gunnersville.
Yeah.
But
wait, Randall, what all kayaks you got back there? You got like 8 of them, huh?
You got a couple.
360, an Outback, an HD, and a Kilroy.
You ever get your boy out there with you anymore?
He kind of retired since he's got older.
Is that a Kilroy HD or a Coosa HD?
No, it's OG.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's that G.I. Jackson color they got rid of back in like 2016 or 17. Yeah. But that boat for me more money than any other boat, I promise you. I paid for every other boat in here with that Kilroy, I swear.
That's crazy.
Even that Tennessee Bass Nation.
I thought you were more strictly in your 360.
I mean, big water, but like if it's grassy, if I know I have to pull that drive at any point, I take the Kilroy.
Yeah. Well, that explains a lot more than on Gunnersville, because everybody knows you kick most of our asses on Gunnersville, and I know the rough area you fish, and I've been back there before, and I was like, how the hell does he get this Hobie back here? Like, there's got to be somewhere to put in that I don't know about or something.
No, I don't take it.
Smart man. But so Randall, what about you? Did you give it any real pre-fish, or did you just kind of wing it?
I knew. I mean, once they drew Wheeler, I knew from that moment where I was going. It's like I said, I fished it for river stops. I've fished it for Wheeler tournaments. I think I've got, this is probably about the 6th-second place finish I've got off that stretch. I mean, it's got fish. It's got good fish. I just, this time, 2 days, I couldn't get a kicker.
Yeah.
But after Friday, I mean, I caught so many 15-inch fish. I was like, I don't even know if I'm going back. And I contemplated. I talked to Coop. I talked to Bo. I talked to a lot of people. I was like, man, I just don't know what to do. And then about 9 o'clock at night, I was like, I know there's fish there. Like, don't be an idiot. Don't leave fish to find fish. And then the bigger ones started biting. You know, I caught them 3 18s before 8:30, and that was my last call. I couldn't get over another 18-inch. Jeez. But the guy who fished with me caught a 19 3/4 within arm's reach of me.
Was you and Bubba fishing in the same boat again?
Friday we fished together.
I joke around about that because I've judged some tournaments that Randall's and his fishing partner have been in, and they literally stay like close enough to talk to each other easily because when their marks are coming in, you know, you have to check. You have to check GPS coordinates to make sure there's eligible water, and it pops up on Tourney X when you're director. And it literally, their dots are like on top of each other. And I asked him about it one day, and he was like, I want to say that there was a picture, I think, of one of y'all like with like your leg hooked over the other guy's boat or something that. I mean, so y'all two are like, which means fishing partners is cool as shit. But
yeah.
I just always thought that was funny that I can't remember who it may have been. Nate that had said something about it. It's like, oh yeah, they fish close enough to spit on each other.
Oh yeah. That's funny because, like, he'll be a day where I'll catch. You know, we fish many of these tournaments together, like Spro tournaments or any of these TPK in Naka. We'll be that close, and his bite's a 16, mine's a 19. Like, it just don't, there's no rhyme or reason to it. There's no, we're making the same cast. It's just, I always get a better bite, and he just it eats him up.
Man,
that's
I don't
why
know
that's a good fishing partner to have, the one that you always beat.
Yeah.
And that's okay with it. So, yeah. Well, let's get into I'll say tournament day, but we'll start from the Friday in the beginning. Coop, tell us about, because I mean, you fished a bunch of time. So yeah. Start walking us up until basically you got off the water that first day.
Yeah, so I fished around the boat ramp where I put in that, and it was on the main river. I guess I'll go ahead and say it. I was at the dam, so I fished the dam, and it was they were pulling some current, but, I mean, getting a bite was non-existent. So I played around until I found a creek and went up in the creek and started to find shad, big balls of shad. But there was more gar than there was anything in there. And there was a bunch of life. Pretty much fished it out, and I caught all my big fish, all my pretty much scoreable fish on Friday, and I got one kicker on Saturday. So the big bite definitely came from me on Friday. But fished it the whole way, and pretty much they were positioned on the swings of the creeks, on the inside points of the swings where I pretty much got all my bites. They were stationed either on rocks or trees, laydowns, and pretty much fished them shad style, either that or a jig. Between those two, pretty much did all my damage.
What's shad style?
I figured y'all that. So this is an old school bait. I don't know if y'all can see it. Old school. It's old school Sammy is what they call it. Yeah, I had a dad's buddy give it to me probably about 15 years ago. And it's a little, probably about 2.5, maybe 3-inch walk the dog style bait. And it's got a little rattle in it. And anytime they're schooling on small shad, it's hard to beat. Either that or a little Kytec, little swim bait, like little 3-inch, something like that. But they seem to only want either top water or something in the shad whenever they started schooling, or I was having to pitch up in trees. It's like they were transitioning back into the back of the creek. Fished, probably caught 6 or 7 fish on Friday, but they were all smaller, 12, 13, 14 inches. Ended up getting to one portion of the creek, and I was about to turn around, starting to get dark. Saw a school of fish and ended up landing 3 of my biggest fish out of that school. So it was almost like a luck thing. I mean, I could have turned around and missed every one of those fish. But I went that 50 more yards, happened to see a school of fish, and ended up sitting there for probably about 30, 45 minutes and ended up catching 5 or 6 in probably a 25, 30 yard stretch. But the first one was the biggest one. It was like 19 and a quarter, right at 19. And it blew up right at the boat. I was about to pull the bait up and it blew up. So
I love that.
Oh, it was amazing. And it being the biggest fish. So that's kind of how that happened. And I had big aspirations for the next day thinking, oh, I'm going to go back. I'm on fish. Don't leave fish. Because I debated all night to change it up and go somewhere else, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Went back, and I bet you I caught 10 to 12 fish on Saturday and culled up a 1/2 inch, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe 3.5. I think it was like 3.5 inches is what I culled up on Saturday off one fish.
So stepping back, just because you were talking about getting into the, you know, finding a creek, you already mentioned it was the inside arms of the swing, inside points. Or yeah. Was it like real, real shallow, skinny kind of water? Did you have a lot of depth change?
Man,
so actually, around here, for anybody that don't know, and it's the creeks most places, but around here especially, you'll have a lot of these like limestone bottom creeks that one side is like nothing. And I've seen some of them within 6 feet drop to like 9 feet, like crazy outside drops. So what was it like for where you were at?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So the outside of the swing was probably maybe 3 foot and went up to like a 1 foot, just a shallow little bay. And the inside points were 9 to 11 feet. I mean, they're around 10 foot deep running down on the inside swing. So they weren't shallow. They were deeper. It's like they were just using it for a stage just to follow that bait fish on back.
Yeah, good fall transition area where they still got that deep water real close to him. Well, that's cool. Well, what about you, Randall? Give us your first Friday.
launched, I guess, 11 lines in. I mean, we put in, started peddling up, and we caught fish. I mean, it just was no size. I mean, I probably caught 25 fish. It was just 13 to 15. Any way you wanted to catch them, with a fall bait, spinner bait, chatter bait, swim bait, Ned rig. I mean, we caught them anyway. Just wasn't no quality. And so we probably pedaled up maybe 3.5 miles, I would say. 3 miles maybe, just covering water, and could never really figure out that bigger bite. I mean, there was no rhyme or reason to where they were. There was some in the slack water, some in the eddies, some in the current, some in the laydowns, some in the middle of the river. I mean, it was typical fall fishing.
Yeah.
Anywhere, everywhere, any way you want them, few and far between.
Were there lots of fish, like, piled up on top of each other, so like get one bite and you could get two or three more rats out of it?
Absolutely not. It was almost the complete opposite. It was pure random. I mean, everything that looked like, oh, you know, when you're river fishing, like, oh, you know, there's gonna be a fish in there. No. Then you cast the line out to get a backlash out, and then it blows up on a frog in the middle of the river. I mean, it was there was no rhyme or reason to it on Saturday. And I don't know if it was, we had supposed to have that big amount of rain, that big weather system was moving in. I don't know if that had them jacked up. You know, typically it makes them bite, I would think, but the bigger fish wasn't biting. So we got into Saturday morning, launched at lines in, and it was raining, kind of a real light rain, heavy mist, perfect moving bait. And I mean, so I put on a white and chartreuse jackhammer, and I mean, probably third cast, caught 18. I was like, okay, might be onto something. And probably two or three casts later, catch another one on chatterbait. So I was like, okay, one more, and then I'm gonna have to just hold this in my hand. Sure enough, caught another 18 on it, probably another 5 minutes later. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna glue it in my hand, and I did. And for 40 minutes, I didn't get a bite. And I was like, well, I'm tired of throwing this thing. So I pick up a popping frog and start just throwing it against the bank and current or eddies, slack water, lay downs, undercut banks. And that was the deal. I probably should have been throwing first thing. I mean, they were just crushing that frog.
Well, there is an eye opener for me, because when I fish a lot of moving rivers and stuff too, and I just don't ever throw that kind of frog. I always throw like a horny toad or something like that, like a little lighter. Yep. That's good. I don't know if I've ever talked to anybody that's throwing a frog like that. But anybody that doesn't know Randall, this man was. Did you back to back, or did you three-peat the Spro tournament?
Back to back. I didn't get to fish it that third year.
Okay, so. What I know of Randall and what he's known for to most of us around here is frog fishing on Gunnersville. I mean, Randall's a frog guru. And just like you said, I mean, I've heard it come from Bubba's mouth himself. Y'all can be throwing the same thing in the same area, and Randall's just got that magic touch or something to it that...
Some would call it luck.
Some would call it cheating. I'm just kidding. No, I think he just paid his dues.
I don't know if I, yeah, I got one on the wall. Let me grab
it. Curious to see what it was. Yep, I have that frog. See, it doesn't matter. Why,
huh? White, just a white popping frog. And I, like on those style, I like to cut the legs a little bit different. When one
better.
So it stays in one spot. It's almost like a spook. You just twitch it, and it'll kick left, kick right, which then that seemed to be the deal, where you throw it up under a brush, up against the bank, and you would kick it once or twice, and then it would sit there, and then they would eat it. Like, it never got hit on the actual pop, so it was that pause in between.
Do you boil them or do anything crazy? Just turn it out a little?
Sandpaper. I take sandpaper, and I rough the top of them up, kind of thin out that top plastic. Okay. Some of them just get to a point where catching a fish on them, their teeth of the fish will kind of wear them down. Yeah. But I don't bend my hooks. The only time I bend my hooks is I bend them in.
if I'm fishing really heavy, thick, sloppy stuff, I bend them in because I would rather miss a fish or two than miss 50 casts cleaning my frog off.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a pick your poison type thing. I would rather be fishing than cleaning my frog off. And I don't care how weedless they are. When you throw in that real sloppy stuff on Gunnersville and it lands upside down, or if it jumping over a log and it lands upside down, then you got to reel it in. So I'll bend mine in. But I'll rough them up. I'll put them in the truck window, soften the plastic. If I get a couple, I'll throw them up in the dash and let them sit there for a week, or leave them there all summer and get them out as I need them. I've taken a heat gun in a pinch before, heated them up with a heat gun, sand them on the top. It kind of gives a little bit more grip. But other than that, I mean,
I now know that my frog game is way worse than I thought it was. I thought I was doing all right. What's your preparation, Jimmy? I take the bitch out of the package and I tie it on the line and I go catch fish with it. Apparently, I got to rethink this.
What's your setup and all that?
Yeah. Bending the hooks in can't be doing anything bad because you've landed tons of killer sized fish with them.
Oh, yeah. But I'd love to tell you about the ones I missed. And that's the God's honest truth. Frog fishing is it's one of those things. I mean, you have to know that you're not going to catch every fish that you get a blow up on. Either they'll knock it out of the water, you just don't get a good hook set. You get a great hook set and it piles up in 17 pounds of weeds and then it pins itself there and it gets, I mean, it's just one of those things. If a lot of people get frustrated with it, but
definitely.
I legitimately think I missed my PB on Gunnersville on a frog last year.
No, yeah. I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, I definitely know I have. Like, and it's always on Gunnersville.
You know when it's a good one. I always say this: when it sounds like Jesus drops a bowling ball, that's when you know it was a big one. It don't matter if he blew up out of the water or just gulped it. There's a sound that the big ones make that can't be replicated.
That gulp I've experienced three times, and it's the one where you know that, like you see in the videos, where the water just disappears, frog and all. And all three times that's happened, I've had my head turned because it seems like I always – like, I actually do it on purpose now. Like, if I'm either, like, setting the hook early and pulling it out of their mouths, I'll start casting, and I'll make sure when I'm working the frog I don't look so that it's all a reaction. And that's happened three times in the last 2 years. And then you look back and you see a hole in the mat, you know, just you're like, oh, my God.
Coop, didn't you get second or third in that one scroll?
Yeah, I think it was third or fourth I placed in it. I qualified for the dugout whenever it was on Chateauk. Qualified for it all off a frog. Got every all, I think it was like 100 inches off a frog.
Jesus.
Out of one spot. So
we're talking to a couple of Alabama frog gods here, guys. Randall, I got that's been a lot of juice.
Yeah, I have questions. Like, what's your rod setup? I mean, are you using something super heavy, or because you're walking it, is it something a little bit lighter?
I don't. I mean, I personally use the Tatula Elite Ishman Rowe frog rod. Now it's expensive, and it's very expensive. But I can't tell you how much the weight of the rod plays into being able to just throw it all day. It's just like when you throw an Alabama rig all day, your arms get tired. You just get tired of throwing it. Frogs the same way. If you got a heavy, big 200 size reel, 7-11 heavy, like, you just don't want to throw it all day. Yeah. So I spent the money and downsized. Like Robert Brown, Osprey Rods, builds all my rods. Tatula or Daiwa has a patent on those certain kind of guides. They're made of carbon fiber. They weigh absolutely nothing. The rod weighs absolutely nothing. So, and I told Robert, I said, hey, he fixes my rod. He can't even, Daiwa don't sell the guides. You can't buy the guides to repair it. Mm-hmm. They don't even sell them to the public. So, like, it's expensive, but it's,
what's your length and action on that one?
I believe it's a 7.3 heavy extra fast. But I wish I could weigh it, but it weighs absolutely nothing. And then I just use a Tatula reel, and I use the smallest one, the 100.
Oh, really? A 100?
Hmm. All right. Big braid?
Mm-mm, 30 max.
Dang.
Man, I'm throwing 65. I'm
throwing that
wrong.
30 twice as far as you're throwing that 60.
Oh, I guarantee it.
And that, I mean, give her a 30 pound braid. I don't know. I mean, other than alligator, nothing is going to break that 30 pound braid.
What's your brand?
Cigar.
Cigar?
Yeah.
I got to rethink my frog setup.
Yeah. I use 30, and like I said, it cuts through the grass. It's thinner in diameter, so it cuts better. So if you get a fish in the thick grass, and get that hook set, well, it's cutting that first 2 or 3 feet of that whatever's in front of it. So it's almost
like that.
Yeah, I use 30. I can cast it better. I can put more of it on my smaller reel. Mm. It's all about weight to me. Like if I'm gonna throw that frog, I'm usually gonna throw it all day long.
Oh, yeah.
And so I go with the lightest setup possible.
I'm going to go back and clip this, and I'm going to take me a bunch of notes because I've learned a lot on that. What about, I know, Coop, you weren't using the frog in this tournament, but just because no. I know you smack them on a frog, what's your frog setup?
So mine's a little different than his. I throw a Dobbins, so I don't spend a bunch of money. I got a Dobbins, yeah. But I
Fury
throw two different reels.
Yep.
It just depends on where I'm at. If I'm doing heavy grass, I'll go down to like 7.3, but I'll use it's a Quantum. So the HD, the Smoke HD reel has a little bit more torque. So I use that one in heavy grass, but it's more sparse. I use an 8-to-1 Smoke. So a little bit faster.
I have a couple of the HDs. They're good reels, man.
Oh, I love the HDs, especially pitching, flipping, stuff like that. Yeah. They're a great frog rod or frog reel. And then I throw 40 pound most of the time. Kind of like Randall said, I can cast it a little further.
All right. I feel like, man, I thought I knew something about frog fishing. I feel like a freaking idiot now.
And I mean, it's kind of like Randall said, though, you're going to miss fish. And then being in a kayak and not being able to get that leverage on them is even bigger. So, I mean, you're going to miss fish. He was talking about modifications. About the only modification I did in mine is when the grass is real thick, I got a frog or two that has a couple BBs in it, some rattles.
I did that.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, you can do all types of stuff. I've seen people glue Velcro, little patches of Velcro on top.
I've been wanting to try that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I leave them on my dash when I first get them to kind of soften them up. But, I mean, you're going to miss them. So, no matter what you do, I mean, you're going to catch some, you're going to lose some. So just take it and go.
I had to look up that rod, Randall. I didn't know there was a difference between the Tatula Elite and the Tatula Elite AGS.
AGS, those are the guides.
Yeah. Huh.
Yep.
How much is that rod, Dan? I just got to know.
The regular Elite's 179 to 200, and the AGS is 289 to 299.
So oh, no, shit. We're still cheaper than Loomis. That's affordable. That's affordable. It's like,
I mean, like I said,
yeah, if you have like one year deal, that this is your rod, your best technique, you've won all that money on it. Yeah, man, spend the money. Why not? Yeah.
But that's not shaking a stick. I don't personally own one, but I know Robert makes some fantastic rods over there.
Oh, yeah. I got
Dude, his rods are so nice.
I got 15 of them back there. I'll show you on this frog real quick. Like, this is that brand new one I showed you out of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all can see that. That's just same. See how tight that is?
Mm-hmm.
This is the one I fished with in the tournament.
Oh, wow. Like, you can even see it's got a little sag
like,
to it.
You
compared.
Can see the... You can see the stiffness in this one compared to this one. I mean, this one is absolutely mangled, shredded.
Do you keep yours in baby powder?
Huh?
Do you keep yours in baby powder?
No, I just throw them in a box.
I keep mine in. I put baby powder in my box. Keeps them fresh. Keeps the tails from drying out.
Golly, buddy, the bits of freaking information we're getting out of this, y'all gonna have to stop.
look at the legs.
So short and staggered.
Brand new, short and staggered, makes it walk like a walking the dog.
Hmm. You tying a straight to it or a loop knot?
I forget what it's called. Just double in, overhand knot, pull it through. I mean, the most
Palomar.
Simple.
Palomar.
The most simple knot.
You really got me with that 30-pound line.
Yeah, I mean, that
surprised me.
I think I got some. I'm going to try that tomorrow.
I mean,
we'll see what happens.
Be careful when you backlash that 30-pound. It's a lot worse when you back for sure. I'll tell you that for sure.
You'll be amazed prepared for that. The sensitivity you get. I mean, it's just what I've kind of always used. And I mean, it's worked. So I don't see any reason to change it.
Well, I feel you. Well, before we continue, because I'm so curious now, we can just stay on this subject. We got to get back to the tournament at hand, though. So Randall kind of told us how he got into his, we'll say, final day of it. Coop, tell us about your Saturday.
My Saturday was pretty much trying to chase him down because I knew where I stood in Angler of the Year kind of going into it. So yeah,
we're going to touch on that here in just a second.
Yeah, so that's one reason why I stayed out so long because I knew, I mean, every chance I got, I was going to need it. So trying to track him down, fish the whole time, and I end up losing one fish that probably would have called me up close to him. And we always talk about that one fish that gets away. But other than that, called up one time and probably caught 10, 15-inch fish. every one of them I kind of throw on the board, nope. Just throwing back all day.
Well, what was your money technique for this event, though? Like, you said you're two. On day two, was it pretty much the same, or did one
same
stand
thing.
Out?
I went, like, pretty much day one, I kind of narrowed everything down. They weren't biting the chatterbait that well. I did try the new slobber knocker out. I was interested. Like, let's try it out. I had one bite on the main lake, and it broke me off in some current. It was a mud line. Don't know what it was. Bit me at the boat, ran me down, snapped me off before I knew it. So I was actually a fan of the slobber knocker.
Yeah, how does that compare to the jackhammer?
I have just as much confidence as that. I think I normally run – so I'm a jackhammer guy. That's kind of my main go-to thing. I normally have 2 to 3 tied on. I'm like the Chris Marks with all his rattle traps. I run all types of jackhammers, so different colors, different sizes, different blades. But I feel like I got just as much confidence in that slobber knocker. Like I was actually a fan of it, so I'll probably buy a few more of those and keep trying out different trailers. And
if you haven't already, you need to try out the cross eyes from Z-Man.
Really? No, I hadn't tried that.
I think it's $10 maybe or cheaper,
like the heavy cover one.
Yeah, it's basically it's got a little bit of a tie is a little different than the jackhammer. Uh-huh. But it's just got a weed guard on it, but in my opinion they almost run the same.
Really?
for how I fish it, which is changing. I got to talk with Jody Queen at iCast, and so I usually like basically yo-yo a jackhammer or slow reel it just to feel it knock, or I'll rip it up and you can feel it flutter down. And he was talking to me one day, just talking about how it just darts around. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. He was like, you don't burn chatterbait? And I was like, absolutely not. And he's like, well, you're missing a lot of fish then. And the last few trips I've been on, I'll throw one of them out there and burn it back. And if you get it in clear water and watch it come around, I mean, it does. It just goes wherever the hell it feels like. And that's how I got my first smallmouth on a jackhammer, was burning it. So now I'm a believer. So that whole yo-yoing and hopping trick's probably gone now.
You can talk with Nate. Nate will tell you all about trying different trailers, and each trailer will make that chatterbait do something different, other than where it'd be like a razor shad or a paddle tail or a creature bait. Any of those subtle changes to that jackhammer changes
everything.
What it does.
I know a lot of people get into putting paddle tails on them. I've tried them upside down, right side up, and all different kinds. I mean, it's usually like a, you know, the razor shad or like more of a craw trailer if I want to stay up. Yeah. But
I use razor shads.
Yeah.
I use Kytex. Kytex or some kind of craw bait. And depending on.
Wish I had your pocketbook. I started out using Kytex until. Man, you went through them so fast. I mean, you almost have to use a Z-Man on the back of it.
If you're willing to drive, I can get you, possibly can get you a connection on them, like actual contacts. I got some word passed down to me, and I bulk ordered, and the guy knocked the price down to very affordable. So now I just buy them like 10 packs of each color at a time.
Oh, they work. I mean, I think they're one of the better baits on the back end.
Man, I've been trying to find a replacement for the Kytec Fat Impact Swimmers for 2 years, and there ain't one. I'm sorry. There's other good ones, but when the bite gets tough, you can throw the Kytec, and it'll get bit.
Now, Sloan's turned me on to these big bite baits, those kamikazes.
Yeah.
And that's what I threw this past weekend, and I changed it up. I liked them. I mean, they were actually a good trailer on the back end.
Yeah, that kamikaze swim on.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like about those, it seems like whenever you put them on a jackhammer, like it's almost like there isn't enough meat to the bait to sometimes it, I don't know.
So my problem was the hook kept going through the holes on the back end. It's like that hook wants to find the little holes that make the little bubbles, whatever they do. I had to like take that off the hook so many times. So that was probably the only downside to that bait. But you were talking about a paddle tail on the back end, Z-Man. I mean, that's probably pretty much the only paddle tail I use. But once you leave it on for a month or two, the tail can get warped. And what Jimmy's talking about with it darting and diving, doing all type, that's when you get crazy action. One of those tails will just set and turn, and it'd be kind of crooked. And it's almost impossible to get that jackhammer to run straight. So, I mean, that's something I just learned. Didn't even mean to. And I used a crooked tail, paddle tail one day and caught more off of that day than I probably ever had.
Golly, buddy. We're getting all
It could have been luck. It could have been luck, but.
No, it's that subtle difference, man. It's the subtle differences is what sticks out in fishing, especially when shit's pressured.
Speaking of paddle tails, though, I was pretty high in a pretty high national level tournament this past spring, and I ran out of paddle tails, and my good buddy Coop gave me an on-the-water delivery of about $45. He wasn't even in the tournament. He drove from his house, went and picked up paddle tails and brought them to me, and I ended up finishing fourth in that trail series.
Good job,
that's
Coop.
Awesome.
Solid.
I mean, luckily, there's like 3 or 4 tackle shops within 10 minutes of my house, so luckily, I was able to run down one and help them out. So,
well, next time that happens to me on gun, because I had a good day on Gunnersville one time where the bite was underspins during one of the NACA tournaments actually, and I broke off my last one and was just like, shit, I'm gonna dial Coop's number up and be like, how are you sucking it up? If you are, I need you to run down to.
Now if I'd have been in it, he would have been SOL. He would have been spin for himself.
I'll tell you what,
competition at that point.
I mean, I know I'm with X Zone, but the X Zone 3.5 and the 4-inch swammers, you don't hear much about them. But I mean, they are really, really legit on like flashy swimmers, all kind of different things. I don't like the 5, or I think it's 5.5. It's the real big one, but for trailers, they're really good. They're okay like on their own, but for trailers, they are great. I keep some in the kayak.
That's something I would add about the Kytec that I think was what probably puts them away from a lot of the other ones, is you can just put that thing on a swim bait hook and you don't have to get fancy with it. You can throw a white Kytec 5 inches all day and catch fish. Well, just because it got brought up, so do either one of y'all, just because I don't have this here, first, just to let everybody know how it finished. Jason, who he had some technical issues and couldn't get on with us, but he finished the day with 91.25, and I know he was skinny water fishing because he's one of the skinny water kings in North Alabama. Randall ended up in second place with 89.25, and Coop, you were right back there with 87. So solid finish to the day, and this event helped determine Angler of the Year. So who knows what the standings were? Do you know the top few before this tournament? Because, like, Coop, you said you knew that you were chasing.
Yeah, I know I was leading it for the first part of the first couple tournaments, and then I think Blake jumped Randall and myself right there at the end.
Blake Robertson.
Blake Robertson. So he was in first going into it. Randall was in second, and I was in third. And I think Bubba was in fourth. I'm not sure who fifth, sixth, and seventh were.
But the top three, this is what.
Yeah, it was really about the top three. Bubba had a long shot, but he was trying.
So I got wind that Blake was talking a little shit in the director chat, thinking that he had this locked up because it got drawn on his favorite lake to fish. So, Randall, tell us what he said.
he was chirping. He was talking about it's a wrap and congratulations. And he was talking smack about me getting my catalytic converter stolen. And,
oh, man.
See, he won the Classic last year, which was on Wheeler. And I won Angler of the Year last year as well. But he was talking crap because he won, but I tried to tell him. So, not only did my catalytic converter get stolen at the end of that tournament, but I had COVID when it like got diagnosed 3 days prior. So I had a huge fever. Like I had it. So I fished that tournament and I was struggling. I forgot my fish grips. And that's when NACA could use fish grips. And I lost by a half an inch to Blake. But I had three fish over 19 inches that I couldn't put fish grips on. And if you know you can put fish grips on them, you're going to get another 3/4 to an inch out of opening that mouth. Yeah. So I literally gave him, he won fair and square, but I left my fish grips is the reason he won. So he was chirping me about how he won last year, my catalytic converter getting stolen. So I was like, thank God I got him.
So I'm getting updates during the day because those guys call me during basically any tournament. And Blake didn't call me this time, but Dan Sasser, he's one of the tournament directors, he was calling me. And he was like, did you look at the leaderboard? And I said, yeah, earlier, because Blake was up in, I think, like, I can't even remember, like second or third place at one point. And he was like, Randall just posted his fish and he jumped Blake. And I was like, oh, here we go. And he's like, yeah, I called Blake and asked him if he'd looked. And he said, no. And he said, yeah, Randall just passed you. And he said, oh, no, I'm not going to win now. And so anybody that doesn't know anything about NACA, NACA is like the KBN of Alabama when it comes to like meme wars and stuff like that. It didn't get – we've had some good ones and some questionable ones. And some of the worst people that come through our group get put out in the greatest ways when Randall and these guys get to posting memes and shit. But there were some really good ones of what was it? It was the guy that's usually holding the dollar bill, but you had him holding the Angler of the Year trophy.
Oh, yeah.
Saying
yeah.
That, oh, not yet, Blake.
You almost had it.
Yeah.
Gotta be quicker than that.
I really wanted to hit on it just because Blake listens to every one of these episodes. Yeah. And I know that. So love you, buddy, but I'll teach you to talk shit. Valiant. Especially to Randall.
Oh, man.
Well, so that, like you said, so that's back-to-back Angler of the Year. That is that you've won three AOIs, haven't you? Or is it just two?
Three.
So he's one of the dudes to beat in the state, as well as Coop. Coop, I've only think I've finished ahead of Coop one time. It was a throwdown, and I hang my hat on that.
I know I've had two runner-up Angler of the Years. I'm thinking I had three. If we wasn't three, I had a third-place finish. And I thought this was going to be my year until Randall then snuck back in. Because I had to beat Randall, I think, by like one spot. And I had to beat Blake by like three spots.
And yeah.
Came up short. So there's not always next year.
Yeah.
Start out strong.
And there's some changes for NACA next year. So just for anybody that is listening, NACA is one of the clubs that didn't allow motors. It's been a manpower club as long as they've been around. They voted to go motor. So are y'all going to jump on that train or you think you're going to keep kicking ass the way you do?
I think, I'll end up probably with one just to make some runs. Kind of look at this Wheeler tournament with a motor. It kind of opens up some stuff that you really wouldn't even try to do otherwise.
Right.
With the ramp situation and different things. So if it saves you 45-minute paddle turns into a 30-minute joyride, I'm all for it. I mean,
it does,
I'm not
going
to knock it. You don't need it by any stretch to win. It's not a
no.
It's not an advantage. I say it's not an advantage. It's an advantage for sure. Just like pedaling is over paddling, but at the end of the day, you still got to catch them.
Yeah. What about you, Coop? You getting in on it?
I've been in on the motors for a little bit, but knocking never allowed them. So I still got it. It sits there. I use it when I can. So, I mean, that there's give and takes to a motor. I mean, there's a hassle and setup of everything. Yep. I mean, there's pros and cons with any way you look at it, any way you go. I mean, you look at the Hobie BOS, I'm pretty sure that kid paddled the whole weekend. Yeah. So,
Jackson Robanus.
Yeah. So, I mean, it don't matter if you got motor. It's all about where you're at, what you're fishing, and how you fish. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
100%.
Yeah. It's the boat don't make the kayaker.
No. So. It's just like LiveScope. It's just another tool.
Yeah.
I was always weird about it, and then I got to try one time, and now, like, I still love my float trips and dragging kayaks up the shoals and stuff, but it opens, like Randall said, it opens up so much more water to even just go check out. Like, you look at it on a map one day and are like, that is a hell of a pedal to get over there and it not be worth it. Well, now, oh, yeah, especially with the lithium batteries and everything, I'll run 5 miles on a chance for pre-fishing. You know, I mean, you could get over there and it's never seen a kayaker before. It's definitely a fun tool.
But it can also, you can put yourself 5 miles away from fish too. So,
amen.
It don't help you catch fish and make you go look for more fish, but that's not always a good thing.
And we talked about it on here. It'll make you even worse because you'll stop, instead of breaking down an area, you know you can run away and check something else out. And you might have been in the right area and just not figured out the pattern yet. It's just like Coop said, man, pros and cons. I think it'll be cool to see next year. I don't think it'll be any surprise. I bet you we'll still have plenty of guys cashing checks that are just paddling or pedaling.
When you look at Coleman, I mean, I think they made a comment that I don't even think a motor has won a tournament since they allowed it.
I didn't know they allowed motors. Yep. And our tournaments every year, Angler of the Year, and most tournaments are won by people who are paddling. So mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, in Iron City. So
the motor being a like advantage as far as people thinking that like it literally is helping these people get more fish, I feel like it's just been put to bed. If you want that argument, go to LiveScope. LiveScope can make it, but it's the same thing. You can find the fish on LiveScope. Don't mean you can catch the damn thing.
Well,
you may fish that fish for 4 hours, you know.
Well, I know a couple people that ran LiveScope this year. And
if you're using your motor to run 5 miles on tournament day, you're behind the eight ball. If that's what you're trying to do, if you're trying to run 5 miles to find fish, well, you already got a problem.
Yeah.
Now, you could always use motor to practice. Now, if you want to go practice with a motor for 2 days and go 5 miles this way, 5 miles that way, and find fish, and then you can go to them and catch them, that's totally different. But on tournament day, it don't change anything. Like TVK, whoever it was that's allowed motors, KBF, Kilroy. You find fish and you catch them. Like you don't, the motor just, it's just another tool. It's not an advantage to where people should think that they have to have one to compete, because they don't.
Yeah. We'll have to start posting all the results from like NACA and Coleman and stuff like that. I mean, I remember even when the pedal kayak thing started getting big, I remember, I can't remember that boy. He won the NACA Pickwick event paddling fishing ledges in an Ascend and beat everybody out there in their Hobie. Yep. No graph, no electronics, just fishing memory and knowing where stuff was. Paddled all day. Because that blew me away, because when we came into the weigh-in, he asked me if I could show him how to set up his fish finder. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, I don't know how this works. I don't really use them. And then I was just like, ledge fishing with no electronics. Well, hell yeah.
Clubs in Alabama, if you take the same 10 people and you give them motors and you took a different 10 people and you took them away, whoever's been there is still going to be there.
Yeah.
That's not going to change.
No.
Yeah. I mean, biggest thing, I mean, you had 35 mile an hour wind, it don't matter. Well, it's hard to fish. I mean, a motor's going to open up a few more things you can fish that day. Pedals are going to open up a few more fish, things that you can fish that somebody who's paddling can't. But you take the wind away, and somebody who's paddling got just as much advantage in an area or during tournament.
Yeah. And I posted in this in Iron City, where whenever we announced it, because we want to do it as early as possible, like I've looked at videos. I get 5 miles an hour with a Newport with a, I have a big lithium battery. You can spend $100 on a battery and get a $200 water snake and get like 75% of what I'm getting.
Yeah. For
so I mean, it's, yeah,
some $2,000.
Yeah. I mean, people have, you know, they're getting 4 miles an hour. They might not get the distance or quite the speed, but for real cheap, you can get, you know, you can get a motor on
it. Don't get lost in the market. You can do it yeah. for next to nothing. And I,
before, oh, absolutely.
Before Newport Vessels, I did it on the cheap.
Yeah.
So
I'd say on Gunner Tool, if anybody had an advantage, it would be the guy who's willing to paddle. And that's the God's honest.
Amen.
The guy who's willing to go through a mile of
shit,
thick grass that looks like a field.
Yeah.
That's the guy that has the advantage, not the guy running 5 miles an hour on the river channel.
And that's how I felt the first time I really explored the area Randall's real familiar with, is I basically was able to motor from the ramp, we'll say a half a mile, and then the motor had to come up and it was push pulling and paddling. Yeah. And then I think about all of my favorite places to fish on Gunnersville, and that's it. Like, you motor and not far, and then the grass is just so bad that it's paddle.
But even like Drew Gregory, I mean, how many tournaments and how many cash checks has he cashed? And he just paddles off in some skinny water, some slop. It's not an advantage. People just complain that it's almost pay to play, but it's not, because you don't have to pay that to play. You don't have to get one.
You can keep whacking on them on the cheap. Stop. Well, so kick-ass tournament, and then congrats, Randall, on back-to-back AOI. But to get Blake, take that shit. Coop, I think you got it next year. Hopefully it doesn't get drawn on Wheeler again.
It's a dynasty.
But
keep that down.
Aspirations for state. So our state championship is going to be on the Lower Coosa and on Lake Jordan. Big spotted bass fishery on the lower end side. What, y'all got any predictions on that? Any hopes?
Somebody's gonna catch them.
Yeah, somebody. Hopefully it's me. But I don't know.
I think it's kind of tough in October, to be honest.
And some people are going to turtle.
I've lost a lot of gear on that river.
Yeah, Wallace Towing and Recovery will be out there on Saturday helping anybody that needs help.
Didn't your your brother or brother-in-law that turtled like 3 or 4 times last year?
It was my brother-in-law, Bubba, Coop.
Yeah.
Was it you I rescued? I had to rescue you too.
Made it to the last rapid. Made it to the last one. Didn't have anything strapped down because the day had went so good. Boom. Boom. It happened. So I'll tell you, strap your stuff down. Have extra bungee cords, extra leashes. Like, take memorable gear. Like, yeah, it's no joke. Go left and drag if you don't feel comfortable.
Don't bring that hot dollar frog rod.
Yeah, but the year before, it was like it rained a bunch. It was like 11,000, 12,000 maybe CFS. Like, it was
broke my paddle halfway through.
It was quick. Wow.
You know, and I've been talking. I'm not familiar with the area. I've never been down there, so I've been talking with the local clubs down that way while I set the tournament up. You know, and I was talking to them. I was like, backup plans. I was like, if we get a lot of rain, you know, does it make it kind of unsafe? Should we do, you know, a plan B on just Jordan? And they were like, no. They were like, there's so many slack areas you can get to on the river that fish better when the water's high. We do it all the time. And it's like, I believe that, but it's like a safety thing. Like, I don't want an inexperienced paddler going down there and getting in 15 to 17,000, you know, getting blown down that river. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's for inexperienced anglers in general in that set is tough. And then even that river, I mean, even when it's summer sunny day, there's places you could just get yourself into some trouble.
Yeah.
It's just how it is. But it's beautiful fish spots.
I mean, beautiful fish. I mean, they fight. If you think smallmouth fight, I mean, that's the next best thing. Yeah, I ain't never caught a shoalie, but
smallmouth fight up.
Yeah, they fight down.
Alabama bass fight down.
Yeah.
And it's legit. Like, if you've never been there, I mean, you know, if somebody's thinking about fishing it and they qualified for it, you can legit catch a PB Alabama down there.
I think every year somebody catches one over 20 inches. Yeah.
Wow.
Every year someone catches one, at least one over 20. Yeah. And there's usually quite a few good bags.
I caught like a 22 down there a couple years ago.
Yeah, I caught a 22 and a half on a whopper plopper.
Yeah, they're freaks down there.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And up by the dam, some big old striper too. Up by the dam.
That's what I'm torn. I'm not going to get on the water Saturday, obviously, because I'm running the tournament. So I'm going down Thursday, and I was thinking about doing, like, do I want to fish the Coosa for spots, run down, go fish for shoal bass, because that's a bucket list fish that I haven't got yet, or go fish big striper at the dam. I hadn't decided yet.
Well, I'm kind of worried about how many people are actually going to be on the river. So, I mean, it kind of makes me want to go to the lake.
Don't go to a lake.
Dan's been the highest finisher at the lake the last 2 years, and he's really? Never finished higher than seventh, but he was the number one on the lake. That's what he was.
I've never
like,
seen it.
I won't do
never
it.
Never looked at it.
It's good. I mean, you know, if it's tough because there's not a lot of launches on Jordan. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of places I'd love, like I've been at a boat that I really like that maybe you could compete, but the places without a motor that you could reach in a kayak, it just doesn't compete with the river.
Is the state going to allow motors this year?
No.
I haven't even heard yet. No.
Next year, but not this year. That's what I'm answering for Jimmy.
No, that's fine. No, it's fine. I mean, it was asked with the directors and they agreed no. And then I found out that last year they were. So now I'm like, well, maybe we should just let it happen. But I'll have all the details out this week. I'm waiting on the camping information. I've got everything else locked down. I've had a bunch of sponsors step up with all sorts of cool stuff. I can go ahead and say it here. $500 is being added in for big bass. So biggest bass of the weekend is getting $500 from the city of Wetumpka. They're hooking us up with some t-shirts. I'm trying to get us a deal at one of the pubs down there, all sorts of stuff, but they're taking their time but they're putting the work in. So I appreciate that from them. I think we'll have a good time. I'm sure I'll be handing Randall something because I think Randall has won money every time I've held a tournament, period.
Yeah, not on Coosa. I've never cashed a check there.
You might as well write a check to Lance right now because
I know.
I think he's won one state two or three times down there.
Yeah.
That won the open division the very first time we ever had a state championship. Walked away with my first trophy ever.
Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. Trophy. Got trophies coming.
It was messed up the first year I fished it, and I got seventh. If a spot rolled down to me, and if I would have fished the opening rather than the thing, I would have won. But I wanted to be like, oh, I'm in the championship division because it was my first time, and I screwed myself.
That's hilarious.
Well, I appreciate it, Dan, because I think you told me that story one off one day.
Oh, did it?
So I appreciate that.
Oh, I didn't even know. I forgot it was. You know, I wasn't saying it like.
No, I forgot you had told me that story.
I didn't know I had told you that. I'm sorry. I thought I just kept it to myself and cussed quietly, you know.
One last thing to touch on, and it's because I was mentioning giveaways. Randall, have you started winning giveaways yet? Because I know as long as I've been with NACA, it is comical at the NACA. Everybody, the NACA saying is you show up for the giveaways.
At the Classic, I think we had 18 raffles to give away, and there was like
29 people.
Yeah, but not everybody showed up. So it was to the weigh-in.
There was only two tickets left over.
Over two tickets left, and guess who's one of the ones that was left? They're like, all right, raise your hand if you didn't get your number called. And I'm like, I'm genuinely think they take my number out and like put it in their pocket.
We've like I was saying, NACA's little saying is we're just here for the giveaways. We always have lots of raffles at any of our trail stops, not even just the Classic. And I've sat at a table with Randall and seen the frustration. And I'll never forget, it was Pickwick 1 year. And you said, I swear to God, if y'all call me for that stupid pack of baits, I'm going to spike that crap right in the floor of this restaurant and walk out.
This is like a mega shout out. I mean, if you made it this far in the show and you're within driving distance of fishing at NACA event, they are absolutely without a doubt one of the top two or three clubs in the country that you could possibly imagine to fish. The best giveaways, the best guys, the best, y'all have some of the best water in the dang country, the most diverse stuff from, you know, from Smith to Gunnersville. I mean, you know, like I heard somebody on KBN not too long ago asked, like, where's the best place to be in the country? Chattanooga, North Alabama. I mean, one of those two.
Yeah. You're either sitting on the best in the country or you're within driving distance to the rest of them. Like, it's a mecca. Yeah. I can't believe I landed.
We have a lot of good fishermen in our group. It's because we're so diverse. I mean, like you said, within an hour, you're fishing different water.
NACA's, so like a difference for anybody wondering between NACA and or Alabama in general and the Tennessee clubs. Tennessee clubs are all ran very, very well, very professional. A lot of your big national anglers fish that. You know, you go to finish a Tennessee tournament, you're fishing 100% against the known best anglers in the country, probably going to get your butt kicked. Well, if you think you're somebody and you come down and fish a NACA event or an Iron City event, they're going to beat the shit out of you most of the time. Like, these boys have got – this reminds me of, like, the Tuesday night tournaments on the Warrior River. Some Joe Schmuckatelli you've never heard of will outfish anybody on, you know, their body of water. And that's what NACA's always been like. It's very, like, old school feeling. And it's fun. Like, it's like a big family of people. And, like, shame on you if you win a tournament because they're going to make fun of you.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get ridiculed for sure.
It's the only club that if you win a tournament, it's way worse. I remember Randall ran around with runner-up Randall name for a long time.
Oh, that's what I was just looking at. I got all these ticks on the wall and my name ain't even on. There's some kind of stupid slogan. Or it says no shipping or runner-up Randall or
bump stickers.
Yeah. Bump stickers.
I know there we and
free
the, another thing in the like the leaders throughout state for the clubs. They we're trying to get together like they do up in Tennessee with Cast and everybody's talking about it and we're trying. I know somebody had suggested doing like where events are going to be where we have joint events with clubs. Those will be like there'll be a high roller pot on top of those events. So it'll be like kind of like a high roller pot for three or four different tournaments through the year. So. We're, Alabama's trying to get our stuff together. NAC has been the leader for so long.
I'm excited. Know? It like we're the last to the standard, but I'm glad it's happened. They went five fish this year. Most of the clubs, they went hands on, no fish grips, no mouth open. It's exciting. It's like yay, we're like everybody else now.
Yeah. But, speaking of clubs joining, I think TVKA has their classic on Gunnersville this weekend. So
they have like the Iron Man deal, right?
Yeah, starts Friday at 3 and ends Sunday at 3.
You fishing there, Randall? Awesome. Did you fish with him enough? Did you? Yep.
I think anybody can fish it. I think anybody can fish it. They have like a little side pot.
Oh, that's right. I think I fished.
Well, you just have to pay 20 extra if you didn't fish any of the tournaments.
Yeah, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm throwing my hat in.
Yeah, I'm going to fish it.
I'm going to come sit with Randall.
Of course you are.
I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, they got some of the best fishermen around. I mean, you're not wrong about that. So I enjoy fishing with them.
Heck yeah. Yep. Well, I appreciate you guys hopping on with us. We've kept you for long enough, but y'all did great in the classic, great fishing years. It was really cool that not only were y'all the top finishers of the event, but y'all were top of the boards for Angler of the Year. So this is the part of the show where we like to give you guys a chance to shout out, you know, any of your sponsors or anybody that makes fishing easier for you. So, Coop, if you want to start.
Yeah. I guess I'll start with my wife. I mean, she supports me and everything I do and probably wouldn't still be doing it if it wasn't for her. So, shout out to her and all her support. So, other than that, pretty much run solo now. So
running solo. He divorced us with New Canoe.
I hadn't done anything with New Canoe in a while. Yeah. Great company, great boat. I still have one, still run it. There's nothing wrong with them. I don't do nothing more. I just rather fish and do stuff with my family.
I try
to put a lot of time into it. Not a big social media person. Don't like being in the spotlight much. So
I hear you. Well, heck yeah, man. Well, Randall, what about you?
Man, I just got a couple. Obviously, Dugout. Everybody knows what those guys are doing from the Ike, you know, the title sponsor for the Ike tournament down to all the just supporting us, the Angler of the Year and NACA. I mean, they're doing it all, like from Jackson to Hobie. They got anything and everything. I mean, they ain't got to be much selling to do. They kind of sell themselves. So, and Seagar, I've kind of been on them with them for 2 years. And
the best.
Love it. I love it. I mean, I can constructive criticism on some few things, but overall, they've been good stuff. And Spro, shoot, I've 99% of my money comes off of Spro turn frog. So they give me a good deal on them. So I appreciate them too, and definitely my wife and everybody else that gives me crap along the way.
And big thanks to your son for not fishing the tournaments anymore, because I'm sure he'd be giving it to you by now.
Oh, man, he was doing good for a while.
He was kicking some ass. I mean, I think he was like 14, 15 the last time I got to fish against him, and he put a hurting on us.
He qualified for state through NACA in top 10 for Angler of the Year at like 14.
Yeah, he's
he got older and got into sports and girls. And
that's right.
I blame him there.
He'll figure it out one day and come back to fishing.
He will. I figure about 19, 20 years old, he's going to turn right back into the water.
But I appreciate y'all, too, for having us on.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Putting together what you do for running state, and Dan for doing all the stuff he does and down with his group. And hopefully we can get some tournaments together, see some new water.
We're trying to for next year, so hopefully we can.
Do like I'd love to get down there and fish some of that stuff I hadn't seen, and I'm sure some of those guys would love to get up here.
Come on, Anti. Hey, I'll show you a Coosa River Lake. You show me a little bit more at Gunnersville.
Well, we can work that out anyway. I'll give you the A1 spot on Wheeler.
Hey, with KBF coming there next year, national championship, you might have to.
I think the Opens are coming this year. Bass Opens announced they were the second tournament.
Imagine
on Wheeler.
Imagine 400 kayak anglers on Wheeler, all gymmed in 13 yeah, different
380 spots. Of them are going to be in, like, three spots. That's the only, like, yeah. I looked at it like, oh, KBF's coming here for championship. And I was like, well, that's a good chance to make some money, though. And then, you know, they haven't had the numbers that they've had in the past. But, I mean, you have to think about they've had in the sixes and the 400s before.
Even if they did 300, I mean.
A lot, yeah. Man.
I mean, if you're ever going to fish KBF, you know, next year might be the year with the Classic being there.
I'd like to see how it holds up between pre-fishing and then the tournament.
That's what I was about
you
to
see
say.
How it does with
they're
just
crush it.
28 anglers. Mm-hmm. Is it already sucks? So it's like the national championship with the smallest limits.
I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, there's great fishing all around here. But, I mean, I wouldn't say Wheeler's the top.
I think it would be cool if they did, like, Wheeler-Wilson combo or something like that.
We
like,
don't know why it's Wheeler. Just did a legend for Wheeler Lake.
Yeah.
I mean, put that two and two together.
Right.
That's how that happened. Yeah. It ain't because the fishing's good. I promise.
No, not at all. But well, all right, guys. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all. Appreciate the board of directors for NACA, too. So
yep.
Thank y'all for all y'all do.
For sure, man. We'll let y'all go, but hope to have y'all back and see y'all in the future. So thanks again, and y'all have a good night, boys.
Yes, sir.
See you, Coop.
See you, Randall.
See y'all.
All right. That was we got a lot more juice off that episode than I was ready for. I love that. I really have, dude. My frog game is not where I thought it was. I've done the whole, like, set it in the window thing, but I knew I was in for something when he was like, yeah, sandpaper. I was like, uh-oh. I'm off. That's pretty cool, though. Well, we'll get to some tourney.
I'm spooling up 30-pound line tomorrow.
I'm literally staring at a spool of it right now.
Just the casting distance. Whenever he said that, I was like, yeah.
And what's funny is I was, like I said, I throw 50 or 65. I was throwing a frog last weekend when I went out for a couple hours. And I was just like not feeling like I was getting the distance like normal. And, I mean, that's still not a bomb cast. No, I mean, you can throw it pretty far, but you think about, like, how far you can throw a 20-pound braid. Like, you can send it to the moon, you know? So,
yeah.
Well, all right. Well, we're going to get into some other tournaments we had around the country. And we've got just a few. We'll start off with the New York Kayak Bass Fishing Group, NYKBF, on Cayuga Lake. This one's with a K. I hadn't seen this one before. Really? Cayuga. 2-day tournament, 40 anglers. It was their state championship. First place, Jake Moulton with 174 inches. Second place, Jose Vuittone with 173 and a quarter. And third place, Darren Schwinbeck with 171 and a half. Next up from there, we have the Foothill Kayak Anglers of North Carolina. They call it the Reservoir Battle, Lake James and the W. Kerr Scott Reservoir. 32 anglers at the 3-fish tournament. First place, Kenley Martin with 50 and a quarter. Second place, Steve Simpson with 48 and a half. Third place, Mark Wilkins with 47. Next up's the Kayak Anglers of Western Pennsylvania, the River's Edge Steel City Classic. Any moving water in a 50-mile radius of River's Edge canoe and kayak. So kind of like the river stop that gets done down here. 56 anglers, 5-fish limit. First place, Jeffrey Rabbit with 85 and a quarter. Second place, Chad Claypool with 84 and a half. And third place, Dane Provins also with 84 and a half. Next up's the North Carolina Bass Nation Kayak Series State Championship on High Rock, Baden, Tuckertown, and Tillery. 63 anglers, 5-fish limit. First place, Austin Vang with 89 and a quarter. Second place, Mark Glend with 84 and a half. And third place, Bruce Deal with 82 and a quarter. The big tournament that everybody wanted to check out the last weekend was the Hobie BOS on Lake Dardanelle, which we're going to try and get those guys on next week. Since this week was a reschedule, wanted to go ahead and get it taken care of. But Hobie's 2-day tournaments, everybody knows. Smaller, I think it's one of their smallest turnouts of the year. 141 anglers. First place, Jackson Robanus with 165 inches. Barely edging out second place, Francis Tran, who also had 165 inches, lost to the big fish. Third place, Jordan Marshall's having a really good end of his year with 163 and a half. So he was right there too. But yes, Jackson Robanus, the son of, you know, the great Fred Robanus that everybody knows about. He got talked into the tournament. If you haven't seen the video, go check it out on Drew Gregory's page. Drew got to hang out and talk with him before he knows them and talked him into getting into it. And he paddled those 2 days and did fantastic. First kayak tournament, first time in a kayak, and won a high level tournament. That right there lets you know that that good fishing runs in that family. But yeah, so congrats to him on that. Hopefully we see him stick to the kayak stuff a little bit, dabble with it. Moving on from there, we have the Kayak Anglers of Missouri on Mazingo Lake. 26 anglers. First place, Alan Birding with 84 and a half. Second place, Kyle Savner with 81. Third place, Christopher Cramsey with 78 and three quarters. The Central States. Next up's the Central States Kayak Series Championship on Crestown, Iowa. Or in Crestown, Iowa, 2-day tournament. 31 anglers. First place, Chris Longshore with 177. Second place, Rick Valdez with 166 and three quarters. Third place, Sam Burke with 165 and a quarter. Next up's the Oregon Kayak Bass Fishing Tour on Tokanitch Lake. 28 anglers. First place, Jason McClure with 75 and a half. Second place, Kyle Dickinson with 74 and three quarters. And third place, Brandon Hua with 72 and a quarter. Next up is the SCKA Championship event out in San Diego, California. 2-day tournament. San Vicente and the Lower Ote. Didn't we find out we've been saying that wrong?
Yeah, it's Ote.
31 anglers, 5-fish limit per day. First place, Stephen Buchner with 162 and three quarters. Second place, Brandon Cabralas with 150 and a half. So big gap between first and second there. And Justin Maupin with 147 and a quarter. Last two, Bluegrass Kayak Anglers Cave Run. 46 anglers. It was a joint event with the Cincinnati Kayak Fishing Club. First place, Brandon Hayes, 66 inches and 5-fish, the only angler to catch a limit. Second place, Jeffrey Stewart with 57 and 3 quarters. And third place, Kyler Branham with 51 and 3 quarters. Going down from that, you have the Cincinnati Kayak Fishing Club, which was also going on with that tournament. They had 42 anglers in that, but there is a little bit of a different ending because I guess these guys didn't double dip. But first place, a good friend of the paddle and fin group, Michael Grimsley, 70 and a quarter, the only angler to limit in that tournament. Second place, Kyler Branham with 51 and three quarter, and third place, Chris Yonk with 42 and three quarter. So that's it for the tournaments around the country. Not too bad. Getting closed down. What you got going on coming up, Dan? Anything planned for the weekend?
Well, this weekend I'm the host of – my wife's going out of town, so I'm not getting a fish, which is fine. But the Kingfishers or Coos Kingfishers, KFL, obviously our team, we have a home game this weekend against Southern Slayers, who are kind of – some of the guys are local, so should be tough if – and this is –
where y'all at?
It's at home. We're at home the rest of the season.
I mean, like, what's y'all's home lake?
Neely Henry.
Sorry.
Yeah. So if we win this one, it'll either be Virginia or Arkansas Hogs come here, and then the championship on Chick.
So this is the start of the playoffs for y'all?
Last week, yeah, for us. Last week was wild card weekend. So there's this weekend, the 8th, October 8th, and then the end of October is championship. So
hell yeah.
That's all that's left.
Heck yeah. Well, good luck to you on that. Hope
I'm not getting. I'm
well. You're just, not getting. Well, good luck to your guys.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hosting the live. So there you go. How about you, man?
I'm supposed to be helping. This is the if I remember correctly. This is the last weekend that you can pre-fish for Pickwick for the upcoming Bassmasters kayak event in October. Before the water goes off limits. And I'm still dabbling whether I'm going to do it. I don't think I'm going to get to because I just finalized. I'm going red fishing at the end of October for like 6 days down in Grand Isle, Louisiana.
With really?
A bunch of my buddies are going down there. I got invited. I didn't think I was going to get to make it, but figured out a way to make it very affordable. So going to run down there and do that first time ever. Sure.
Man, Grand Isle, that's trip of a lifetime right there.
Yeah, they two of the guys have got some good experience there. I reached out to our co-host, Dustin Nichols. Dustin's got a lot of experience there. But we're curious to see how it was. They tried to go last year, but it got blown out by the hurricane, like completely destroyed. And like all the grass in the area got sucked out and, you know, sucked out of the marshes and stuff like that. So looking forward to getting down there and hoping it's good.
Just bring a double sparkle beetle rig. That's all you need.
Now you just tell me what the hell that means and we'll figure it out. Cause right now I'm like bulk buying paddle tails and well, I think it was like the Z-Man Easy Shrimp, like going to go down there and mess them up with some Z-Man stuff. That's what I've been told to buy. So, but yeah, but as far as this weekend, yeah, I think we're going out to Pickwick, gonna go dabble around and see if the fall pattern started there. It definitely was not 2 weeks ago, so we're gonna try one more time. And I found some juicy new areas that I didn't realize were kayakable that I'm gonna go poke my finger in. But that's about it.
Cool.
Well, all right, folks, it's been another great episode. Thanks for sticking with us as always. Definitely, if you've made it this far, you got some really good juice on some chatterbait and really some frog information. Hope everybody enjoyed it. We will see everybody next week. Like I said, going to try and get the Hobie winners on for next week. But until then, we will see y'all and everybody be good. Peace.
Later.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.